here in just a minute.
Blog Talk Radio.
I got way too many things going on this morning at the same time.
Are you ready?
If you're ready, I'm finally ready.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
all right. You ready? I'm ready now, I think. All right, let's get us a song book and let's stand together. Let's turn to 149. 149.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to die my pardon. And if the grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face a certain faith, because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, living just because he lives. At this one day, across the river, I'll fight like mine, the war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I know he lives.
Play that this morning.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Praise the God. Praise God. I think Bill Gaither got that right when he wrote that. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I don't have to be afraid, even though this world is winding down, even though we know that the what's about to take place. We can see it. The Lord's coming soon. There ain't no denying that. And praise God, because I'm his and he's mine, I don't have a bit of fear as to what's coming. Amen. God's in control. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. That gives my soul assurance. That gives me comfort and peace when I lay my head on the pillow at night, that no matter what takes place, whether I wake up in a different world tomorrow, it's going to be all right. God's got it. Amen. And I'm sure thankful for that because of the blood of my dear Savior that washed my sins away. I'm free from the penalty of sin and death. Hallelujah. It's good to be in church with you this resurrection morning. I'm glad that Jesus not only died, was buried, but that he rose from the grave. And hallelujah, because of that, we have redemption through his blood. And I praise God for that. Thank you for being here. Glad to see folks here. Hadn't seen in a while. Amen. Good to have visitors in our midst today. Praise the Lord. Family and friends here. It's good. Amen. So we're going to go to the Lord. Well, actually, before we do that, we got to have prayer requests. So do we have any prayer requests this morning? Miss Mary? Yes, ma'am. We sure are. We will continue to. All right, others this morning? Okay, all right. Okay. Charlotte is sick. Miss Charlotte's got food poisoning this morning. Y'all please pray for her. That's a horrible, horrible position to be in with food poisoning. So please pray she gets better. Y'all continue to pray for my wife. She's here this morning, but her back's in terrible shape. And pray for my little girl, too. Anything else? Any other prayer requests this morning? I've got Joanne, so I'm good. Anybody else? Anything else? All right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. We'll pray for Tammy. Miss Anya, how are you? All right. We'll be praying for those. Brother Dan, how about you, brother? Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else? Can't do a thing about it if we don't pray.
I think Joanne's up tomorrow about her eyes.
Okay. All right. We'll be praying for that too. All right. Any more unspoken this morning? God, Lord knows all about them. Amen. Let's go to the Lord. A second to the Lord this morning. Robert, lead us to the phone.
I'm taking on prayer list and praying that, you know, all the special prayer requests there and praying, we'll just take the top of the Lord.
Amen. You can be seated. Turn to number 152. 152, Christ arose.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph of his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lived forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. They watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they feel the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his bones. He arose a victor from a dark domain, and he lived forever with his saints to reign. God keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. And from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lived forever with his strength to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. Turn back two pages to 150. He lives, praise God. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever it may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of fear. And when the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, on top with me, a long life there away. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walk with me and talk with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah, is Jesus Christ the King. The help of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me, no long life never away. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Praise God. Turn over 100 pages back yonder to 50. Amen. 100 pages back to 50. There's power in the blood. Let's sling it out good and strong this morning.
Saving power. Amen. Life-changing power.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a blessing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of
Yes, I'll come.
he's coming, and he's not going to be late. He's not going to miss no appointments. Amen? Jesus is coming. And I'm looking for him soon. Amen?
Matter of fact, I'm looking for him today.
I don't know if y'all are, but I'm looking for him today. And if he don't come today, I'll be disappointed, but I'll get up tomorrow and start looking for him again. Amen? Because I'm not going to quit looking for him until he shows up. All right, take your Bible this morning. Why don't you turn with me to John. Give me just a second and I'll give you the scripture. We're not going to be in Galatians this morning. We're going to venture off into John chapter 8 this morning. I'm going to preach you a Resurrection Sunday message. I don't normally do that. Y'all know that. Y'all know I don't deviate on holidays. I just don't do that normally. But I decided I would today. I was talking to my preacher friend yesterday, and he said, "What are you preaching on tomorrow?" And I told him, he said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, I figured you'd be off in the middle of resurrection on that." I said, "Well, I can dig it out of there." He said, "Well, I just figured you." And then I got to thinking about it, and I said, "Well, there ain't no sense for me not." So here we are. Actually, to be quite honest with you, I'm just preaching on salvation this morning. Amen. But I want to preach to you a message with the title, and maybe you remember this message. I think I preached it once before a long time while back, but I'm not really sure. Can't remember if it was here, if it was somewhere else. But the title of this message is The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. And you said, "Well, that sounds prideful." Well, and I ain't telling you that because I'm preaching it. Amen. It's not the greatest sermon ever preached because I preached it. I can promise you that. But the greatest, I'm going to preach about the greatest sermon ever preached. Not that I'm going to preach the greatest sermon ever preached. John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. We're going to read these two scriptures. We'll pray and we'll get into the message this morning. But I'm glad you joined us today at Temple Baptist. We're glad to have you here, Visitor and Member Alive. Good to see so many faces this morning. John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I love you. I thank you this morning for the word of God. And Father, I just praise you, Lord, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose from the grave according to the scriptures. Lord, that it was done exactly as it was been prophesied. It was done according to your will, exactly to the letter, not a jot nor a tittle was changed. Father, salvation was brought down to us through our Savior Jesus Christ and through his shed blood and his resurrection. And we're thankful today that he lives. We're thankful today that he's seated at your right hand. We're thankful today that the Spirit of God lives in our hearts, and we know that we have a home in heaven. Lord, it's a glorious fact that my name's been written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. Lord, help me to preach your word and magnify Jesus this morning, and we'll give you all the glory and all the praise for all of it. And we ask you to work in the lives of your people here and the lives of those who are listening in. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Not to mess around anymore. Let's get right into this morning. The greatest sermon ever preached. Now, we're going to learn some things this morning. First of all, we're going to learn out of who preached the greatest sermon ever preached. We're going to see, number two, where it was preached. And thirdly, we're going to see what the results are of the greatest sermon ever preached. And let me just start off by saying that I know we, most of us all in here, are very familiar with the story of the life of Jesus, and we preached through it, and we covered it about as deep as you can cover it. But just to refresh your memory, you had the Pharisees, and we know who the Pharisees are. We're talking about the Pharisees coming down and stirring up trouble in Galatia. But the Pharisees, of course, they were there in Jerusalem with Jesus, and they were, but you had two political parties in Israel at that time, really. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were religious political parties. They were connected to religion somewhat. Sadducees weren't really, but the Pharisees were more religious. They were kind of more like, they believed a lot of the same things you and I believe here today, except they rejected Jesus.
Now, they believe the Bible, a lot of the Bible they believe, but they just rejected Jesus. And so they were very critical of Jesus, and they watched him constantly throughout his whole ministry. And they were watching him, and they were very, very jealous of him, and they very much did not like him, and they very much wanted to get rid of him, but they were watching him with a specific purpose of trying to find some fault in him, some glaring thing that they could point out and say, aha, now we see that you are a fake. Now we see that you are not who you claim to be, and we're going to show everybody. They wanted to destroy Jesus. They wanted to get rid of him. He caused them problems. He exposed their lies. He exposed their inconsistencies. They tried many times to trick him into going against the law of Moses. But we know that the Lord Jesus kept the law perfectly. It was because he kept the law perfectly that he was able to be our sacrifice. If he had failed in any way to keep the law perfectly, then he would not have been the perfect sacrifice. We know that when the priest chose a lamb to be sacrificed, he had to find one that was without spot, without blemish, that had not a hair out of place on him, that had not any blemish or markings on him. And so Jesus had to be perfect in every way. He had to fulfill God's will in every way. So they're watching him and hoping that he's going to mess up somehow. And if they could say, aha, you messed up and you went against Moses' law there. So understand that just in recent times they had brought to Jesus a woman who had been taken in adultery. They had caught her and some man together, and they brought this woman from that location to Jesus to see what Jesus would say. Amen. And of course, Jesus. When they asked him, said, we know what Moses said. Moses said she should be stoned. What do you say? And Jesus put it down and wrote in his face. And some people said, what did he write?
Well, I don't know what he wrote. He may have wrote their names. I don't know what he wrote. But if the, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but the end of the story was
Jesus. He didn't hold her guiltless, but he told her to go and sin no more. He told those men, he said, listen, whoever among you is without sin, you cast the first stone at her. They brought her to him to check him, and he actually turned it around on them and said, well, if y'all are perfect, then one of y'all is perfect, go ahead and throw that stone. And, of course, they all one by one left. So, they were angry with Jesus. And John 8, verse 12 and 13, the Bible said, then spake Jesus to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And he told the truth. Listen to me. If you follow Jesus Christ, you won't be discouraged all the time. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love him, if he's yours and you're his, and you fellowship with him and walk with him daily, you won't get all bummed out and wonder where your place is in this world. You'll have a purpose. Now listen to me. You won't start thinking about how miserable life is, because you'll be able to find joy in the Lord in your relationship with Christ. You won't worry about what's coming and what's going to happen, because you know where you're going when you die. Amen. Listen, I know just as sure as I'm standing here that I'm going to die someday if the Lord doesn't come back. It's as sure as anything else. But, you know, I'm not worried about that, because I know what's on the other side of that door. Now, if somebody doesn't know that, they're going to be worried about it. But praise God, I don't have anything to worry about. Amen. Because I'm not walking in darkness. I'm walking in the light of the Lord. Amen. I have the light of life that Jesus Christ spoke of. If somebody here on the sound of my voice don't have it, then why don't you get it today? Amen. Why don't you get it settled today and know for sure that you're going to heaven and not to hell? Amen. Listen, Jesus told them this, and the Pharisees therefore said unto him, you're lying. They said, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. You're a dirty liar, Jesus. That's what they said to him. Now, what did Jesus say? Let's look at our text again. He said, well, I tell you what, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he. They said, you're a liar. He said, no, no, no. When you lifted me up, you'll know that I'm he and that I do nothing of myself. I'm not down here preaching my own message. I'm here preaching what the Father sent me to do. He said, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father sent me,
taught me I speak these things. So that's what he told him. You wait until you get me lifted up, and then you're going to find out who I am. Matthew 27, verse 35 through 38, it recounts the crucifixion of Jesus. And it says there, beginning in 35, it says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head the accusation written, this is the King of the Jews. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And now continuing on there, verse 39. And they that passed reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him, with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, he himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. You think they were speaking Satan's words? I think they were. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. But these also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. So everybody, not everybody, but a large portion of the crowd around him is shouting, that man on the cross in the middle, he trusted in God. Well, let God do something. He believed in God. He said he came from God. Let God do something if he wants him. Let God help him. He claimed to be the Son of God. Then why doesn't God do anything? And then God did. You remember the words of Jesus. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. God did something. In Matthew 27:45, the Bible tells us that the light of heaven went out. We're not talking about a solar eclipse that we're going to experience here in about a week where we reach totality and it's like it's right before the sun goes down where it's twilight all around and you can't barely see. No, this was a different darkness. This wasn't explained away by some solar eclipse. This was darkness. Listen, it wasn't 4 minutes and 27 seconds or 4 minutes and it'll be 4 minutes and 20 seconds over here next Monday. Even though it'll be raining, won't nobody ever see it. But this is 3 solid hours, 180 minutes. Where these people stood around the cross after they had simply just mocked God. I don't know if y'all happen to see that on TV, but it was at one of these big meetings over in Europe where all these nations get together and they fuss about America and Israel. But it was at one of those meetings. I can't remember which guy he was from which country, but he stood up and he decried Israel and crying out for a curse to be put upon Israel. And as soon as he said it, he had a heart attack and dropped dead by the podium. You don't mess with God's chosen people. You don't mock God. God healed that man on the spot on live TV in front of everybody to show. You don't mess with me and my people. And those people around that cross, they may not have known that Jesus was the Son of God, but they had a fear for God Almighty. And I can assure you, when those 180 minutes of darkness stood upon them, it got their attention. They wondered if this is it. Could this be the end? Well, the sun, 3 hours in the middle of the day, the sun stopped shining. I dare say you couldn't see a star. I dare say all the lights in the universe went out. The Bible said there was darkness all over all the land until the ninth hour. So from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, total darkness. You say, what is that? It's noon till 3 o'clock. That don't make sense. Okay, that's Jewish time versus Roman time. All right. But again, they start counting at 6 o'clock in the morning and they end at 6 in the evening. All right, so
from the sixth hour of darkness all over the land. So for 10,800 seconds, time stood still. And God gave Jesus everybody's undivided attention. John 8:17, then Jesus spake unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Well, the light of the world was dying on the cross. And God caused the lights of heaven to dim with the loss of the creator of all that. Creation was reacting to the death of its creator. The lights went out. The second point. The veil of the temple was rent. See, I don't know what that means. That means it tore. That means it tore. And I want to explain to you. Well, let me read the scripture and then I'll tell you. Matthew 27:45-51. The Bible said, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all of the land under the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, so when the light finally began to shine again, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried. And he cried before the light ever came back on. But the Bible said, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, why do you cry that? Because God turned his back as Jesus became sin for us. God couldn't look upon Jesus when he became sin for us. God had turned his back as Jesus became the object of hatred. As he became the sacrifice. As he became the one who would die for us. Jesus became, he stood in our place, you see. That's why he cried, why hast thou forsaken me? Because we were forsaken. Because of sin, we were the forsaken. Amen. We had to be found again. Praise God, we had to be reclaimed by his blood. Jesus went to the place of forsakenness for us and stood in our place. Why hast thou forsaken? And the Bible says, straightway, well, no, it says that some of them that stood there, when they heard that, they said, this man calleth for Elias. They didn't understand his language. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. Sure, he wanted a big mouthful of vinegar, don't you? And the rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That means it was tore in two from the top to the bottom. Now, let's understand that for just a minute.
What is the veil of the temple? What is that all about?
Well, in the temple, you had three different sections. You had an outer section, a big outer court. And in that outer court, very much like City Hall, very much like Town Square, business was conducted there. It was just a public square for the most part. And then, you had the inner court. That's where the sacrifices were done. That's where the priests conducted business. That's where people came in and to worship. But then there was an inner part to that, which is called the Holy of Holies. And there were stairs that went up to the Holy of Holies. And at the top of those stairs, where the Holy of Holies was, there was a curtain that went all the way around this small room. And inside this small room was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant with the angel waving it in over and almost touched the top. The horns of the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, where there was inside of it was a bowl of manna, inside of it where there was the Ten Commandments, the Ark of the Covenant, this curtain that surrounded the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies. It was very thick. They said it was anywhere from an inch to 3 inches of thick of woven linen.
And I know we've all sat down somewhere fancy and had a linen napkin. We normally use paper towels because we're country, but y'all all had a linen napkin in your lap at one time or other. And you know from feeling that thing, you can't rip that. That's tough. You can't put a linen napkin up there. You put an old cotton rag up and rip it, no problem. But linen's a whole different matter. That's tough. And you imagine somebody has woven something of that material for 3 inches thick. Now, there's a reason for that. God didn't want anybody getting in under one person. Because that's the presence of God on earth. That's the place where only one man could go in once a year. And he would bring the blood into that chamber. Only he alone. And he would take that blood and he would take it and he would apply it to the mercy seat, making atonement every year for the sins of Israel. They would put a rope around that man's waist and he wore a garment. And at the bottom of it, it had brass bells and brass pomegranates. And those things would jingle when he walked. And so what was the purpose of that? So that they would hear him at work in that. Because if those bells quit jangling and fell silent, it meant one thing. It meant the priest had not gotten right with God before he went in, and he's dropped dead in the presence of God. So we've got to take that rope that's around his waist and pull him out of there, because can't none of us go in there in the presence of God, or we'll die. What the Bible said, what God tell Moses? No man has seen me and lived. Right? Well, the only way that priest could go in there is if he was right with God. Okay, so it's very, very crucial that room. But when Jesus died on the cross, listen, because the priest was the only one who could go on behalf of the people to God. He was the only intermediary between God and man, was that priest who went in once a year. He had to go in and appease the anger of God with the blood of the Lamb. But now Jesus has found it once and for all forever. And when Jesus when he blew that last breath out of his lungs and said it is finished, that temple veil, 3 inches thick, woven linen, ripped from the top to the bottom and opened up, signifying that there was no more barrier between God and man. Jesus had forever bridged the gap. Praise God. I'm sure that priest and all the Levites ran screaming from the temple because they thought they all were going to die. My friend Mark Wheeler wrote a wonderful song about that called "The Veil Is Gone." Hallelujah. We have access to the throne. The veil is gone. Praise God. I said that was the second point of the greatest sermon ever preached. Yes, the universe went dark. Yes, second of all, the veil of the temple was rent. But thirdly, the earthquake and the graves were opened. Matthew 27:51-53, and behold, the veil of the temple rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. I'm going to tell you something up there. That's crazy. That's the only word I can use. Amen. Listen, people who have been dead, when Jesus was resurrected, hallelujah, he had such a powerful impact on all those in the graves around him that some of them came on out too. Can you imagine sitting at home around your dinner table? And you're sitting there eating a meal and you're talking about what just happened. There was an earthquake. Man, that sky got black yesterday for 3 hours. Man, I'll tell you what. Do you hear what happened? The temple, they're sitting there having lunch. All of a sudden, knock on the door and open the door. And it's grandma. She's been dead for 40 years. But all of a sudden, she's standing at the door. He's alive. He's alive. Woo! I'm going to tell you right there. They're going to come out of that grave. I guarantee you they had a witness. Hey, they had something to talk about. They come out the grave, walking around like a bunch of zombies. No, they come out the grave, and they were talking. The only thing I don't know about this is what happened to them. Did they have to bury them again? I don't know. That's the point. I'm going to ask Jesus when I get to heaven. What happened to all them folks? Amen. But anyway, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:8-10, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, but what is
What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Listen, the significant thing about all of this is the fact that all of these things happen when the man on the middle cross died. That's the main thing, that these incredible things happen. It was he that had said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak. You're going to find out who I am. You may not believe who I am, but you get me on that cross, and God's going to show you who I am. Amen? The greatest sermon ever preached was preached by God the Father. In his 3 points were, number one, the blacking out of the sun, which demonstrates his power over all physical existence. Amen? His second point was the rending of the veil, demonstrating God's plan of opening the way of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, alone. And thirdly, the earthquake and the opening of the graves, demonstrating that God's agreement with the words of his Son. This is the man who said, he said in John 2:19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. God showed in his raising Jesus, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the man who had stood at the tomb of Lazarus after he'd been dead for days and said, come forth. And Lazarus came forth and very much alive. On that very occasion, this man said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's the man who said in Matthew 20:17-19, he said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. All of these events moved the old, questing, hard-hearted Roman soldier, a centurion who was a man over 100 men. He fought many battles. He'd come a long way in the Roman army. And I guarantee you, he had to do a lot of killing to get there. He had to do a lot of awful things to get there. But this man at the foot of that cross saw these things happen, and it caused him to utter these words. The Bible says in Matthew 27:54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. It convinced even his old hard heart. I said this sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached, was preached by Almighty God, and his pulpit was Calvary. His points were the blacking out of the universe, the rending of the veil, an earthquake that broke the rocks, and the graves opening up and the dead walking around. Matthew 28:1-8, and I'm going to close here. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. My friend, I hope you're saved today. I hope you know for sure. I hope you know for sure that if death were to knock on your door today, that you respond by going into the
gates of heaven and to be with your Lord and Savior. I hope and pray that you know that you know that you know. But if there's somebody under the sound of my voice this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure that you truly trusted God, you truly put your sin at the foot of the cross and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to take your sins away. If you've not truly believed on Him and been born again, I urge you, I implore you, I beg you to get it right today. I beg you to come to Christ and lay at His feet and say, Lord Jesus, I need you to wash my sins away. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Bring it to Him. And I say to you this morning, if you're saved and you've been living a life that you know the Lord's not pleased with, get up off your rear and get to God and get it right. Repent. Get things clean. Get things right in your life. Start anew. Start afresh. God's waiting on you to turn around. Don't waste another minute. How much longer do we have? You don't know and I don't know. But I can assure you this, just as sure as He died, was buried, rose from the grave, that sky's going to part and He's coming. And when He comes, if you're not ready, you're not going. I'm going to tell you something. If you are saved and you're not living right with God, you're going to be ashamed when He comes. I urge you today to get things right in your life so you don't have to be ashamed before Him at His coming. Let's stand together. Sister Simon, we're going to sing a song of invitation. We're going to sing 118. Before we do, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to work in our lives today and draw us to the invitation. 118, I need thee every hour. Let's pray. Father, I love you so much. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you for salvation through His blood. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a child of God today, not because of anything I've done, but because of what Christ has done for me. Oh, Father, I thank you today that Jesus didn't stay dead. I thank you, Father, that He did exactly what He was supposed to do. He came and He died. He did everything. He was raised from the grave exactly as your word said, exactly as it was prophesied. And, Lord, He'll do exactly as you promised He'd do in my life and in the lives of these if they'll come to Him and give themselves to Him. Lord God, maybe we need to come to you afresh this morning and not getting saved again because we can't do that. But maybe we've been saved, but we're just not in line with you like we ought to be. Lord God, I urge you, put conviction on our hearts. Draw us back into your will for our life. Lord, please, bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 118, I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, I thank you. I come to thee. I thank you every night. Thank God I'll be your God. Thank you for the God when I don't want to hear. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, I thank you. I come to thee. I need thee with every hour. In your way I pray. In every day of life,
I want to remind you that we might have a fellowship today, but
fellowship meal today, but we're going to have one next Sunday. We lose that because an evangelist friend of ours, Brother Leo Lyman, is going to be here next Sunday. He's a friend of mine I met several years ago down in Mansfield, Louisiana. He has a cross ministry back there on the bulletin board. If you want to take one of his brochures, he's got brochures laying around the table with him and his wife. But they're in full-time ministry. They leave out usually every week or so. They'll leave out and they'll go on a journey and they'll stop in towns and set up their display, which is free crosses provided to a church in Lufkin, Texas. They build some crosses and they say Jesus is Lord on them. They give them away for free. And he uses that as a tool to open the door and talk to somebody about the Lord. But they put out free crosses. People pull up to get a free cross. When they pull up, they've already entered into a spiritual conversation because they're coming for a cross. So he has an opportunity to share Jesus with them. And last year, he saw nearly 1,100 people get saved, just him and his wife, traveling up down the highway of this country. That's just one man. What if everybody did that? If we did that every day, just share Jesus like he does, I mean, if we could reach the world, we really could. So I hope he would inspire you and get you excited about evangelism. He taught for, I think, 30 years. He taught something called evangelism explosion. Anyway, come back next week and hear Brother Leo live. And then we're going to have brisket to eat that day. I hate to tell you about brisket today when you're hungry. But we're going to have brisket next Sunday and all the fish we can go with it. So come back next day and come on back next week. Amen. But we're going to give you the evening off today. You have time with your family, spend time with your loved ones. And we pray for them going over to Paris and you're going to go over to Saint at Brother Mike Clark's church. So anyway, you have a wonderful, blessed afternoon. And just keep the Lord on your mind all day. It's his day. Amen. Thank you for coming. Let's go with Lord in prayer. Let's meet at this. And we'll see you back here hopefully next Sunday. I don't know.
Thank you.